playing the game they lost when he was at George Mason. He got injured and could not play in that game. So in games that he's actually appeared in, he is 7-0 in the NCAA tournament. Pretty amazing.
That is pretty good. That is really good.
He had 20 points against Wichita State, including 14 in the second half. So he was, again, key in the second half in that game, key in the first half. Don't have a problem with him being named the MVP. I just thought Siva was more important when you consider the overall game in both ends of the court. I would have liked to have seen a co-situation there.
I like the Hancock beard, too. It's not one of these beards that is out of control, all Josh Reddick, who looks like the redheaded Santa Claus now.
There's a handful of really big beards. Big beards are all the rage.
It's in.
Yeah, well, I mean, Duck Dynasty and others. Well, and we have the guys with the Giants.
That's right.
And their beard craze.
Yeah, to me, the beard thing was more of a playoff thing in the NHL, but it's really come into vogue. Which I'll say it's better than when the Mohawk was in vogue. I'm really glad that that's kind of gone a little bit. But I like Hancock's beard. I mean, it's trimmed nicely. He's done it well. Keep it at that level, though, Luke. You know, as a most outstanding player, keep your beard most outstanding, too, please.
That's it. And what a week for Rick Pitino. It's been talked about many, many times, especially on our morning show. But he's in the class of 2013 for the Hall of Fame. His son gets a job at Minnesota, largely because his last name is Pitino, and he's learned from his father. And, oh, by the way, he did a pretty darn good job at FIU this year with a bunch of guys that nobody knew anything about. And they got better, much better, through the year. And they played that same kind of style. You almost felt bad for UALR. Those guys play in your guts from the tip until the end of the game.
Yeah, they did. It was, I called the game that the UALR played at FIU when Rick Sr. was there.
Yeah.
And he rode up in his limousine, and he's a small guy.
He's a little guy.
He's not really
big
at all.
So is Richard. Well, yeah. And of course, you probably saw Richard last night in his Louisville Reds.
I know. I noticed that, and I'm thinking, you better take that off, like, tomorrow.
Yeah.
And put on the Minnesota's brown, right?
It's kind of a brownish, like a dark
yellow.
Maroon.
Okay.
They got a gold, and they've got like a maroonish brown, yeah.
Gophers.
So I'm sure he'll do just fine up there. And then, of course, Rick's horse won at Santa Anita this week, so he's had a good week.
Little irony in a Pitino replacing Tubby Smith, because it was the other way around at Kentucky. Was it Tubby Smith that replaced Rick Pitino?
Yes. All kinds of strange things happening in that regard.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a call. The guy called it right yesterday. I will give him his due. Michael from Stuttgart called for a win by Louisville. He did call for a double-digit win, but by the narrowest of margins, Louisville did cover the Vegas number, and I'm sure for Michael that's all that mattered. Mike, good call.
Oh, yeah. Number one overall seed got the job done. Not really taking any credit for that. But let me say this, Justin, and let me say something as far as the pigskin goes and what he went through last night. But, you know, honestly, just a little bit too much coach and Pitino, a little bit too much dog, a little bit too much experience in Louisville. But, you know, it's something you said yesterday as far as these daily affirmations. It goes back to the guy from Saturday Night Live. He gets in front of the mirror and he's good enough, he's smart enough, and people love him. You got to tell people, you got to give them these medals and these ribbons for participation. I thought Beilein made his biggest mistake. Well, I can't say that because in the last minute when he didn't foul him, that's some of the worst coaching I've ever seen. But
terrible.
At halftime, the guy tells his team, now Burke was in foul trouble, but really that was mitigated by the fact that the little midget went for 17 points. So you can't say Burke was in foul trouble because he wasn't going to do anymore. Well, a little sawed-off guy, whatever his name
was. He'd be a big, big midget.
He's taller than me.
Sure, he's a big midget. He was a player last night. But anyway, he told him at the half, he said, look, I know we're up 1 point, but this is great. He's up there clapping his hands. And Rick Pitino was back in there. And actually, it should have been a role reversal. Rick should have said, man, we're lucky to be where we're at. But he was chewing those guys, I'm sure. I didn't see inside the locker room, but there wasn't any hugs and kisses going on there. And Beilein, I knew they were beat at the half. Of course, I thought they were beat before the game, but at the half, when this guy's trying to massage these guys, when obviously, when they couldn't hold that 12-point lead, they got whittled down the way momentum looked. He just, really, I think not only was the game too big for the officials, but I think, it was too big a game for Beilein because the guy almost got emotional from where he came from, and I understand that, but he coached like a guy that was out of his depth as far as I'm concerned, and I'd like your comments on that, and I got something for Pigskin.
Yeah, I don't have any disagreement with you. He blew it, Mike. You're right, and that was the one point I didn't get to. I thought he should have played Burke more in the first half, even with the issues, and he could have put him in with Albrecht as he did some in the second half as well. You can't sit the kid that long. I just think you take him totally out of the game, and I understand the foul thing, but you got to sit him aside and go, look, man, you're a senior, you're an an All-American. You're the best player in the country. You can't get a third foul before the half. You understand that. I mean, I think you can have that conversation. I think you sat him too long. At the very least, he should have played him the entire second half. He would have never seen the bench if I was the head coach. And then as far as the game management at the end, not knowing how many fouls you had as a team, that's unforgivable in that situation.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. As far as Pigskin goes, you know, I was had a little bit too much animosity toward Pigskin. I want to apologize to him yesterday. Honestly, my best friend's a Michigan fan. And these Michigan fans, I'm telling you, they're insufferable. I mean, they got a lot to be proud of, all-time winning this college football, and, you know, they 116,000. But it's almost – that's what they bring to their football games. And, you know, they should have, would have, could have won the national championship. By the way, Chris Webber started taking money from that booster in the eighth grade. I read that Yahoo, as far as that article, and, you know, went all the way up. But so the guy was taking money at an early age, not that that's breaking any news here. But as far as these guys are a little bit in your face, and I hear this Michigan all the time, and you get tired of hearing about it, but that was his team. He pulled for his team, and I took it a little bit too far with him as far as the way I went at it, because Pigskin's a good guy, man. I love listening to the guy, and he's a world traveler, but he's not a worldly man. He's got the experience and knowledge. But he's a good Christian man, and I don't want to take shots at a guy like that. So I did want to apologize to him. As far as, you know, I wish if Michigan could have got the job done, they weren't good enough to do it. But I would have been happy, you know, for he and his family, his father, you know, who's an eternal optimist, they said yesterday. But
yeah.
At least they have the, you know, he can take a little solace, and they had a heck of a ride, and that's a lot more than. It's like my buddy from Michigan that called me last night drunk after the game. He said, well, if any of these Arkansas fans have anything to say about it, we can compare programs. So. I certainly don't want to do that with him, so I just wanted to lay that out there, and you guys have a great day.
Michael, I appreciate that, and you know what? You and the Pigskin have a lot in common. You guys are both very well-read. You're both studied up when you're talking about an issue, and you both are very convinced that you're always right. And I love the Pigskin. He's a close friend, but he knows that. But you know what? He's usually got a well-thought-out argument, so again, he'll listen to a different side, but you better have a I'm kind of the same way. If I'm going to get in an argument with you, I've got a pretty good feel for what I'm talking about. I'm not going to come off half-cocked, generally speaking. So you better make sure you got ammo. That doesn't mean I'm not open to your suggestion, but you got to make a compelling argument. I'm not just going to lay down and go, okay, you're right.
Radio hosts are not supposed to do that.
No.
Nah. You got to get up in people's grill every once in a while.
Yes, I'm going to model my career the rest of my life after Peyton Siva's defense.
Arms out, get down low.
I love the way
slap
that kid
the
plays.
Floor every day when you wake up, Justin.
I would draft Peyton Siva. I love the way that kid plays. He is beautiful the way he plays the game. I wish I had 1/10 of his intensity and 1/1,000,000th of his ability. The kid is incredibly good, and I love the way he plays. He does everything right.
Isn't it amazing how sometimes intensity can really set a guy apart? When talent is equal, intensity wins the day.
Well, Russ Smith was intense last night, but he was all out of sorts, and that made Siva's performance that much more important. That's why I would give him a little bit of a nod as far as being the key to that victory.
So let's put the word focused in front of intensity.